Good morning. Today's Daf Rosh Hashanah's Daf Beis, otherwise known as the beginning of our next Masechta. So over the course of the end of Moed, so we're covering Masechtas relatively quickly over here. But they're short Masechtas. Rosh Hashanah's next in line, so why? So you know my answer already, but I'll say it. I'll say it formally. So the way the Masechtas are organized in every Seder is that it goes by the size of the Prakim, starting from largest and going to smallest. So every Seder opens up with a huge Masechta, and then from there, incrementally, it gets smaller based on Prakim. The measuring tool is going to be Prakim, not Dapim. So for example, here in Moed, so the first Masechta Shabbos, that's it's a really big one, 24 Prakim. And then from that point going forward, and then you have your 10 Prakim Masechtas, your 8 Prakim Masechtas. We just covered a couple of 5 Prakim Masechtas, Sukkah and Beitza. And now we're up to our 4 Prakim Masechtas. So within the 4 Prakim Masechtas, why one over the other? In other words, we got, let's see how well I know Moed. So we got 3 of them. We have Rosh Hashanah, we have Tanis, and we have there's one more. Rosh Hashanah, Tanis, and whatever. No, Moed Katan 3, Chagigah 3. So, okay, whatever. Maybe the only 2? Huh? Oh, Megillah. Okay, thank you. Okay, anyway, so of the 3, 4 Prakim Masechta, so why the order, why specifically now Rosh Hashanah? So that I don't know. You look at the Rambam in this Parash of Mishnayah, so what he does consistently is that he always finds some sort of link, some sort of bridge that connects one Masechta to the next Masechta. Okay, you need a little bit of creativity, the Rambam has that, so in order to get from one to the other, but in terms of just simple pshat, that's the reason why the order of the Masechtas are the way they are. It goes incrementally from larger Prakim Masechtas to smaller Prakim Masechtas. So now here we begin in Yuma, the 4 Prakim Masechtas. So for the next 3 Masechtas, it's going to be 4 Prakim each. And so here we deal with Rosh Hashanah. The topic, of course, is going to be Rosh Hashanah. But let's quickly separate what we colloquially describe as Rosh Hashanah versus what the Mishnah is going to be describing as Rosh Hashanah. We call Rosh Hashanah the first day of Tishrei. That's right. In our nomenclature, in our parlance, that's what we describe as Rosh Hashanah, is the first day of Tishrei. And we're right, meaning it is Rosh Hashanah, but it's not the Rosh Hashanah, it's a Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, over the course of this Mishnah, in the course of the next number of days, so we're going to learn that there are multiple Rosh Hashanah. So they are, in fact, you can make a much stronger argument that some of the Rosh Hashanahs out there are more of a Rosh, more of a Rosh Hashanah than the actual Rosh Hashanah itself. All right, simple example. The Rosh Hashanah that we call Rosh Hashanah, right? The first day of Tishrei. Does the Torah call it Rosh Hashanah? The answer, of course, is no. The Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah. Right? It's a day you blow shofar. Does the Torah indicate that the world was created in Rosh Hashanah? No. Does the Torah indicate that people were created in Rosh Hashanah? No. So in other words, so we have a Masorah in terms of Rosh Hashanah having significance, but from the Torah standpoint, so Rosh Hashanah, as we describe it, as we call it Rosh Hashanah, so it is a Rosh Hashanah, but it's not the Rosh Hashanah. In fact, if you want to make an argument, let's do this. You can make an argument that Nisan is a greater Rosh Hashanah than that of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, as far as counting the months are concerned, which is in the Torah. So what's the number one month of the year? So the number one month of the year is Nisan. In fact, later in this Masechta, we're going to learn together. There is a debate in terms of which month the world was created. And it happens to be that there is a Tana who's of the position that the world was created in Nisan, not in Tishrei. In fact, Tosos, I just checked up before the Daf. The Tosos on Daf Chav Zayin, so he is of the strong belief, he's of the strong opinion that the world was created in Nisan, not in Tishrei. Okay, everyone says the world was created in Tishrei. Good. That's a Tana's viewpoint. And happens to be that's the more popular viewpoint. But it's a Machlokas Tanaim. And Tosfos actually sides with the world being created in Nisan, not in Tishrei. Okay. Anyway, what comes out from all this is that, just as a simple definitional point, so Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, but the Masechta itself, although we'll be discussing a lot of Rosh Hashanah, but in terms of right now, in the first parak over here, when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about the markings of the first in the year, and Rosh Hashanah, meaning what we call Rosh Hashanah, is just but one of multiple Rosh Hashanahs that exist over the course of the year. Now, it happens to be that later in the Masechta, so we are going to be focused on what you and I describe as Rosh Hashanah, because we're going to be talking about Shofar. So the 3rd and 4th parak of our Masechta is going to be focused on Shofar. The 3rd parak is going to talk about the basic rules of what is a Shofar, and what passes the shofar. And the fourth parak is going to be describing the shofar and Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah and kavana and a lot of fun topics in that fourth parak. But anyway, but the first two parakim are going to be talking. Well, the first parak is going to be talking about the Rosh Hashanahs in general, and the second parak is going to be focused on Rosh Chodesh and the establishment of the new month, which we're going to get to later on. Later we'll introduce the new month. The new month is going to be a really important and big topic over here in our Masechta. We're going to have to know some basic astronomy, right? Not astrology, although that is coming up also in our Masechta as well. A little bit of astrology is coming up, right? I know close to nothing in terms of astrology, but we're going to need to know a little bit to navigate through an upcoming daf. I think it's Yud Aleph, but whatever. We'll see. We'll fact check me later. But but in terms of astronomy, that we need to know. All right, we need to know the lunar cycle. We need to know how the coordination of the sun and the moon and how that operates. Okay, but that's coming up later, so I don't have to give any kind of introduction now. We're already 6 minutes into the daf, so let's go. Let's start off our Mishnah. Our Mishnah begins Arba'a Rosh Hashanim Heim. So there are four Rosh Hashanahs. Okay, so that means to say that the year is marked off by four Rosh Hashanahs. Now that on one hand that is confusing, but just think about the world that we live in right now. All right. In other words, in terms of just the secular world that we live in. So we mark off the beginning of the year. We call it the first day of January. But that's not the only first day of the year, right? Think about most companies and their fiscal year. Their fiscal year does not start on January 1st for reasons that are still a mystery to me. Right, the fiscal year of many companies begins sometime, right? Sometime maybe in the middle of the beginning of August or the beginning of September. Anyway, there are even in our world that we live in. So we have multiple markings of the beginning of something, right? The academic year begins on the first day of September, not the first day, but you understand. In other words, so even in the world that we live in, so there are multiple firsts. So as far as halacha is concerned, so there are multiple. In fact, how many multiples are there? So four. So arba Rosh Hashanim heim. So what we're going to do now in the Mishnah, of course, is that we're going to articulate what are the four Rosh Hashanahs. Number one, Be'echad Minisan. So the Mishnah starts off with the first day of Nisan, which is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim U'L'Regalim. So it's Rosh Hashanah both for kings and for yantifs. Now, as far as Rosh Hashanah for kings, so that's what we're going to be spending the entire daf today discussing. What does that mean? It's the first day of the year for kings. So stay tuned. That we're going to explain over the course of today's daf. So right now in the Mishnah, I could leave that alone. Regel in terms of yantiv, so that also I'm going to leave alone, but I'm just acknowledging the fact that the Gemara later is going to spend some time discussing what does that mean. It's the first of the yantivs. Now it happens to be, as I already pointed out, that Nisan is the first month of the year when the Torah describes the month. So again, something we all know, but I'll just quickly remind each other: the Torah doesn't give names to the months. The Torah just simply calls each month by a number. That's it, right? And what we call Rosh Hashanah is the seventh month of the year, and Nisan being the first month of the year. And the names Nisan and Tishrei, so those are all Persian names that came out of Persia, okay? And that historically came at a later period in time, okay? Why it stuck so well? There happens to be a Ramban and Chumash that discusses that point, but again, neither here nor there. Anyway, but the Gemara later on is going to be talking about how it is significant that Nisan is the beginning of Yantif, of Regal, so that's coming up later as well. Okay, so that's Rosh Hashanah and Nisan. So the Mishnah made two points. We really haven't explained either one of them yet, but it's just because I know the Gemara is going to discuss it later. Be'echad be'elul. So now we go to the first day of Elul. So Rosh Hashanah la'maaser behema. So that's going to be the first day for maaser behema. Maaser behema, every new animal that's born in your flock over the course of the year is going to be collected into a pen, and you're going to count them. And each tenth animal is going to be a carbon. That's otherwise known as maaser behema. Now, what you can't do by maaser behema is that you can't mix last year's animals with this year's animals. Every year, the accounting has to be specific to that particular year. And so therefore, you have to make sure to segregate the animals from last year to this year. Segregation from last year to this year, what is last year, what is this year? Oh, good, good. Now we know. So it's going to be the first day of Elul. Why the first day of Elul? So again, stay tuned. The Gemara later on is going to discuss why specifically that day. Now it happens to be that for Maisa Behem, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. The Mishnah then goes on, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omrim, Becha Betishrei. So according to the Shitas of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, so they're of the position that the accounting year for Maaser Behema does not start on the first day of Elul, but rather on the first day of Tishrei. Okay. Ve'echa b'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Ulishmitim, Uliyovlos, Ulinatia, Ulirakos. So as far as the first day of Tishrei is concerned, so that's going to be Rosh Hashanah for Shanim, for years. Okay, now what does that word mean in this context? Okay, so once again, I'm going to ask that we wait. The Gemara Daf Ches, that's where we're going to be discussing this very line of the Mishnah in terms of what does that mean? The first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, Lishanim, for years. So stay tuned. It's also going to be Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah. Now, it happens to be that we just entered into a Shemitah year. So just a little over a month ago, so we began the Shemitah year, right? A bit of an oddity this year, being both a Shemitah year and an Ibyar, which, right, we're going to, the Gemara Sanhedrin says you shouldn't do that. But that was before the fixed calendar. Once we have a fixed calendar, which we're also going to be talking about later in this Masechta as well, so it happens. In fact, not only does it happen, we're experiencing it right now. We have the Shemitah year and the Yovel year. We have the Shemitah year and the Ibra year that are coinciding. Anyway, so the Shemitah begins on what you and I describe as Rosh Hashanah, meaning the first day of Tishrei. Okay, Li Yovlos. Also, the same thing is true as Yovel as well. Okay, seems to be a redundancy, meaning once we know Shemitah is all going to begin on the first day of Tishrei, so Yovel seems to be pretty obvious. But anyway, Yovel's counted as well. So Nitia, saplings. So we know the halacha is that when you plant a tree, so for the first 3 years post-planting, so any fruit that the tree produces, you're not allowed to eat that fruit. That fruit is considered arla. Now, in terms of identifying a year of planting, so everything is going to be predicated on the first day of Tishrei. So that means to say, Rashi gives the example over here. Well, let's say you planted it sometime in the month of Av, and I suppose it took root. And so now you're really not that far away from Av to the first day of Tishrei. From the first day of Tishrei, you are right a month and change away from Tishrei. Nevertheless, the point is that now registers as year one. So that means to say now that as far as waiting for being able to eat the fruit of that tree, so you only have to wait two plus a couple more months, provided that you planted the tree sometime a little bit before. Before Tishrei. That's Natiya. And as far as Yerukos are concerned, Rashi says this is in reference to Meiser Yerek, taking off Trumas and Meisers from vegetables. Now, granted that the din of taking off Trumas and Meisers from vegetables is a din de Rabbanan, but nevertheless, in other words, it still needs a beginning and an end. And again, it goes, and it's a predicate of the fact that the years cannot be crossed. In other words, this year's Meisers have to be from only this year's produce and not from a previous year. Now, for Meiser, again, something we all know, but just to flesh it out, when it comes to Meiser, so we know that the years are actually different, meaning that for Meiser, so some years you're going to be giving Meiser Risha, Meiser Sheni, other years you're going to be giving Meiser Risha, Meiser Ani. In years 1, 2, and 4, 5, so we're going to be giving Meiser Risha, Meiser Sheni. In year 3, 6 of the Shemitah cycle, we're going to be giving Meiser Risha, Meiser Ani. So obviously, you need to know which year you're in. And over here, as far as Meiser is concerned, it's all going to be a function of Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. And then finally, just wrapping up the Mishnah, Be'echa B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Now, as far as the first day of Shvat, that's going to be the first day of the year as it relates to trees, meaning that the fruit that grows on the trees, and we're going to be spending a lot of time of this in our parak in terms of identifying when exactly at what point of the development of the fruit are we talking about? But for right now, just as a basic explanation of the Mishnah, so that means to say that the fruit that is growing on the tree is going to be marked by the first day of Shvat. Now, you're thinking to yourself, first day of Shvat, isn't it Tu B'Shvat? Mm-hmm. So good, so it's a machlokus in the Mishnah. So Be'echa B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan K'divrei Beis Shammai, as per the position of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Omrim, Bechamisha Asarbo and Beisol is of the position, that's the 15th day. The language of the Mishnah certainly is curious and certainly interesting. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, as per the position of Beis Shammai. Usually when the Mishnah expresses an opinion, it says, right, Divrei Beis Shammai. What does that mean? Kedivrei Beis Shammai, that's an unusual language. Okay, I happen not to have a pshat. But anyway, but certainly it's a bit of an oddity. Okay. And we'll explain a lot better later in this parak in terms of what does that mean, meaning that when it comes to the fruits are concerned, so they're going to be marked off by the 15th day of Shvat. I mean, how does that work consistent with what we also learned in the Mishnah, that the year begins on the first day of Tishrei, right? That seems to be a little bit confusing. It is a little bit confusing, and later in this parak we'll try to unravel that confusion. Okay, in the meantime, however, our topic for today in the Gemara is going to be one singular topic, and that's going to be the very first point of the Mishnah. That not the very first point. The very first point of the Mishnah is that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, but notably that when we get to the first day of Nisan, so that's going to be Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah for what? Lemalachim, for kings. Okay, now, basically what's going to happen in the Gemara today, it's actually really straightforward, and that is that what does that mean? It's the first day of kings? So that whenever we date our documents, so we're going to be dating our documents based on the reign of a particular king. And what we need to know is what year of the king are we in? Okay, and what we're going to establish is that the first day of Nisan is going to be the beginning of the next year of that king, so that when all documents are dated, so we are now all working on the same page, meaning we know the king, we know what year he's in, and we're going to be dating the document based on that king. Okay, a couple of basic points before we start with the Gemara. Okay, and the reason why all this becomes important, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is that we don't want documents to be predated or postdated. Right, the predated documents are the worst, which we're going to discuss in just a moment from now. But that's really what it all amounts to. Okay, now it happens to be that the system of dating by kings seems to be a little bit complicated when the system that we use is pretty straightforward, meaning that we just chose a year. Now it happens to be that in the secular world that we live in, so they chose the year, and we just all are now working and operating with the same year that we're in. Okay, and even in our Masorah, so we also have a year, and that is, of course, Bryas Olam, the year the world was created. And in fact, nowadays, every document that we have, a ksuva, get, so we're all going to be dating it from the year that the world was created. So why does the Mishnah over here invest itself in a much more complicated system in which we are now, instead of using Minyan Olam, instead of just simply saying it is the 5,782nd year from the world's creation, which is what we do. So we go to the kings. Okay. So over here, I'm going to just quickly show you a Rashi that I skipped back in the Mishnah. Rashi writes back in the Mishnah. You can see the Rashi Dibra Maskal Malachim. Second Rashi. So he says that what we learned back in Gittin, back on Daf Pei, is Mishum Shalomachos. What we want to do is that we want to try to make some sort of peace offering for the king. In other words, Rashi over here is referencing a Gemara in Gittin, which basically describes how we want to try to be as peaceful settlers in other people's and other people's countries. And if we date our documents predicated on their kings, so okay, good. So hopefully that'll create more shalom. Now, if I can, if for a moment, I don't want to belabor this point, but it is a confusing point, and it certainly requires more explanation. So what Rashi says over here is true. It's a Gemara in Gittin. On the other hand, however, it is confusing because when talking about the kings of the kings of other countries, so their malchus is all going to be a function of what month of the year. So it happens to be that their kings are not based on Nisan, but their kings are based on Tishrei. It's a point that we're actually going to discuss a little bit later on in our parak. And it really, when we're talking about Nisan being a month of the kings, that means a month of the Jewish kings. So Rashi's point over here of Shalom Malchus is a little bit tricky because our Mishnah over here talking about Nisan is talking about Jewish kings, right? Shalom Malchus is really just to create peace between us and the kings of other countries. Okay, and Tosos makes this point, and we're not going to go through the Tosos inside, but Tosos points out that Rashi over here seems to be a little bit confused over whether we're focusing on the Jewish kings or the non-Jewish kings. Our Mishnah presumably is talking about the Jewish kings, not the non-Jewish kings. Okay. And Tosos says that obviously the Gemara in Gittin is right. In other words, the Gemara in Gittin says it, that when dating our get documents, so we do go after that, we do follow the non-Jewish kings. That part's right. And that is for Shalom Achus. But Tosos says that's exclusively within the realm of Gittin. That's by no other documentation do we follow the non-Jewish kings. And he writes, why? So why is that? So he writes at the end of that second Tosos. So the Avamach Eomos Ha'olam Mitishrei Meninav Tzarech Lefarish Dein Tzarech Shalom Achus Ela Beget Isha. So why Shalom Achus only by Get Isha? Again, Rashi doesn't seem to be giving this pshat, but Tosos certainly is. Lefishu Davar Gadol Milsa DeChashivus Lefisha Yidei Get Mutel Sechol Adam VeChashu Mishar Shtaros. So Tosos writes something really interesting over here. I don't fully understand it, but he says that as far as documents are concerned, nothing's more important then they get a document that allows the woman to remarry. Now, I'm not minimizing that, but that's more important than a significant loan document in terms of its chashivas, in terms of, maybe people talk about it more, maybe just generates more interest. Unclear why, but Tosa says that's where Shalom Malchus takes the most effect. And that's why that when it comes to Gittin and only by Gittin, are we dating the documents based on the non-Jewish kings, but by all other documents, we're dating it based on Jewish kings. Okay. Anyway, that's Tosos, that's Rashi. That part is a little bit confusing. So,
in their world, that didn't exist.
It didn't exist, right? Everything revolved around the king.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, fine. Part of it also is that we've been some time now without a king, so for us it's harder. But in their world it couldn't even entertain it. Okay, let's begin. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara now is basically going to point out that the dating of the documents based on the king, so that becomes now critical, and that's what our Mishnah is describing. Lemalachim lamai hilchaso. So we say lemalachim. So why is that significant? So I'm Rav Chisel Shtaros. So it's significant for documents. Did not Shtarich of Amukdamim Psulim Vamucharim Ksherim. So we start with the Mishnah in Shvius. So the Mishnah in Shvius over here describes that when we have documents that are not dated properly, meaning that let's say the loan takes place on a certain date. What's today? The 11th of October. Okay. So let's say that the loan occurs today, and the loan document was predated. So the Mishnah in Shvius says that such a loan document is going to be puzzle. If it's post-dated, so the loan document is going to be kosher. Okay. Now, Tana Rabbanan. Well, before we get to the next brisa. Okay, so let's just talk about why a predated document is going to be puzzle. So Rashi over here describes. I'll just say the Rashi outside. Basically, when it comes to a predated document, so what it's going to do is that it's going to create a significant problem and a possible act of theft. How so? Because we know that with every loan document that's written, so what it does is it creates an encumbrance. In other words, a lien is created based on a loan document. And so that means to say that in the event of a default of a loan, so now I have the ability to go ahead and to collect from property owned by the defaulted borrower. And so under those circumstances now, if in fact the document is predated, so now my lien is going to be created even before the loan actually occurs. And now we're going to be in a position where if, let's say, for example, the property was sold to somebody else and the sale predated the loan, but the loan document actually is dated earlier than the actual loan that took place. So now I'm going to go over to the buyer of that property. I'm going to say, hey, look, I have a lien on that property, and my lien actually existed before the sale. Now, the seller is going to try to argue, I don't know what you're talking about, meaning I did title search. It seemed like the property was free and clear. I don't know what's going on over here. And so what the lender now is going to do with this fictitious date is he's going to go ahead and he's going to exercise his lien on that property. Okay, so the predated document now runs the risk of him illegally taking somebody's property away from somebody. And so therefore the Chachamim said, well, once you predate the document, that's it. We're disqualifying the document. And the document is an uncollectible document. Now, Rashi says over here that what can happen is that you could still have some sort of claim to your loan. It will be no different than a milvah al peh. In other words, we'll now call it an oral loan. And under those circumstances, assuming that you have the grounds to collect an oral loan, you'll need witnesses, et cetera, maybe the borrower will just simply agree that he owes the money, whatever the case is. So you could still collect the loan, but you cannot collect it with the document. The document itself simply becomes disqualified. As opposed to a post-dated document. So a post-dated document, so the only one you're hurting is yourself. Meaning with a post-dated, and it's disingenuous, but in other words, no one runs the risk of being hurt other than the lender himself. So with a post-dated document, so now the only thing is that your lien starts at a later point in time. So if, in fact, there was a sale of the property now that actually occurred after the loan, but it happens to be that it was after the dating of the document, so you won't be able to exercise that lien. You will just simply not have the ability to collect that property. But the only one you're hurting is yourself. So despite the fact that it is not MS, it's not honest. But at the same time, however, the Chachamim did not disqualify a post-dated document. That's the Mishnah in Shviyas. So now with all that stated, so what we need now is just simply a system. We need a system so that we know exactly when the loan occurred. And so we're going to be dating it. And again, back then, the king was everything. So you're dating it predicated on the king. And so now Tana Rabbanan. Now we get to start the next Braisa. Melech Shaman Be'asrim V'tisha Ba'adar. Kevin Shigi Echa B'nisan. Al Salo Shana. So, a king that was appointed on the 29th day of Adar. Now, obviously, the description over here is basically, it's like one day prior to the first day of Nisan. But once the first day of Nisan hits, Al Salo Shana. So that means at that point in time, we are now in the second year of this king. If let's say his coronation occurs on the first day of Nisan, so now the next time we're going to be saying it's the second year of the king will of course be next Nisan. Okay, the Braisa over here is just simply illustrating that the first day of Nisan is everything. So that means to say that if he was coronated even a day earlier, so this first day of Nisan now represents the second year. And whenever you're writing the document, so here's how you're writing it. And now on the first day of Nisan in the second year of King so-and-so, okay, good. And now once we have a system in place, so now we're good. Now everyone's going to have clarity in terms of when the loan actually occurred. Amar Mar, Melech Shama Besrim V'tisha Ba'adar Kim Shigia Echa B'Nisan Atal Oshana. Okay, so the Gemara is just going to spend a moment on this Braisa. Good, so we quote the first half of the Braisa, and the Gemara says, HaKamash Malan, D'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. So good. So there are two takeaway points over here from the beginning of the Braisa. Number one, that the Nisan is the first day of kings. That's number one. Number two, that one day in the year is considered a year. Meaning despite the fact that his reign lasted all but one day, doesn't matter. In other words, as far as years is concerned, we need a system to accurately describe what today is. So we all know when the loan originated. So that's it. The system is that whenever the king now hits the first day of Nisan, it doesn't matter how long historically he was the king. That's it. Now he's in the second year. The next point of the Braisa, so the Gemara now says Pshita. Now that seems to be pretty obvious. Meaning once we've established that, if he even had a one day history prior to Nisan, the first day of Nisan, so now he's in the second year. So the next part of the Braisa seems to be a no-brainer. If his coronation occurred on the first day of Nisan, so when is he in the second year? Next Nisan. Okay. Like we all would have figured that out. So lo tzricha di imnu ala me adar ma detem na nimlu tartin shnin. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Senate approved the king prior to the first day of Nisan. So everybody knows he's going to become the king. It was agreed to, but he wasn't actually coronated. So the Gemara says, that's a chiddush. The chiddush is that you might have thought under those circumstances, so maybe you'll count Nisan as the second year? No. In other words, everything is going to be dependent on actual coronation. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, another Braisa, one more Braisa describing this dating system based on the king. So the Braisa says, Meis ba'adar v'amadacher tachtav ba'adar. So let's say he dies in Adar. The king dies in Adar. And another king is appointed. And it happens to be that it went pretty quickly and let's say smoothly, right? Without a revolution, without a coup. Okay? We got our next king in the month of Adar. So Madam Shana Lazah Ulazah. So what you could do now is that you could date it based on the previous king or this king. In other words, again, as long as we have our years clear, so then there's no problem. In other words, the whole dating system is all just to create one goal, and that is knowledge of when the loan occurred. So as long as there's clarity, so then it doesn't really matter which king you use, whether you use the previous king, whether you use the current king. So the same thing is going to be true if the king died in Nisan and the next king was coronated in Nisan. So same basic point. So Meis ba'adar v'amar echa tachta b'nisan monim rishon l'rishon ushniya l'sheni. So let's say we had one king die in Adar and another king now was appointed in Nisan. So now, okay, there's only a 1 month separation between the death of the previous king and the coronation of the new king. But over here, however, the significant difference, of course, is that the we now crossed the threshold of the first day of Nisan. So then, monim rishona l'rishon. So so you can go either by the first king, or shnei l'sheni, or the second year of the of the other king. Meaning that if you're going to do the loan in the month of Nisan, so if you're going to use the previous king, so even though it's after he died, but obviously this would be the next year for him. If you're going to be doing the current king, so then you'll be the first year for him. Okay. Amar Mar. Okay, so in this Braisa, we gave basically three illustrations of one king dying and another king taking over. In case number one, it both occurred in Adar. In case number two, it both occurred in Nisan. In case number three, it was Adar Nisan. And the Gemara now, once again, is going to go quickly through all three of these scenarios. Amar Mar. So now, so the Gemara says, it's pretty obvious. So the Gemara says, well, you could simply say the Chiddush is that the idea that we're going to be able to count 1 year predicated on two different kings, maybe that's not allowed. I mean, that would have been the Havamina. And the Chiddush is, no, you could do it. Meaning, again, I know I made this point already, but the whole point over here is that we're dating the documents just so we know when the loan occurs. And you could have said, I'm just going to inject a little bit more into the Gemara over here. You could have said, like Rashi says, all this is an issue of Shalom Achus. And who knows, if I reference the previous king in a loan document, he's dead. And I don't know, maybe he wasn't that popular. Maybe it won't engender Shalom Achus. Maybe that's all part of the Havamina. But the Maskana is, look, all this is really functional. In other words, we're going to connect it to a king. And as long as we have clarity, it doesn't matter whether we chose the king that died, chose the king that was recently installed, it doesn't matter. Now, we move on to the second case of the Braisa. So, Pshita, so the Gemara says, now, at this point in time, again, this is now obvious, and don't tell me now that we can count a single year to two kings, because we already made that point from the first case of the Braisa. So, Mao de Tema Kiamrin and Yomachar Bashana Chashashana, Bisovshana, Ava Bitkilashana, Lo Armin and Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I would suggest as a Chiddush in the second case. And that is, look, we already know, we established it earlier this morning, that let's say the king had 1 day of serving as king. And that 1 day happened to be the 29th day of Adar. And now the second day of his reign is the first day of Nisan. So what did we learn? We already learned that now is considered the second year of his reign. Okay. So that means to say that even though his first year of reign lasted all but 1 year, 1 day, as far as dating is concerned, is going to count as a year. So over here, I might have thought that would be true in terms of the Sof Shana. But Tchila Shana, maybe not. Maybe in terms of Tchila Shana, maybe 1 day does not count as a year. That's the Havamina. Now, within this Havamina, what's the alternative? I don't know what the alternative would be, but that's at least what the Gemara is entertaining. Again, that's a Havamina. Chiddush is no. Chiddush is that it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether it's 1 day of the previous year or 1 day of the upcoming year. As long as you're within that year, you count that as a year. Okay, and finally, Meis Be'echad Ve'aman Acher Tachta B'Nisan, Monim Vishon L'Rishon, Ushniya L'Sheni. So let's say now you had the previous king dying in Adar, the new king being installed in Nisan. Good. So you can date the document based on either king. Just make sure that you got your year straight. So pshita lo tzricha dimnu Allah me adar. So umelch ben melchu. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's once again inject a havamina over here. Why I might have thought differently? Because at this point in time, everything's pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. So what could be a factor over here that would lead us to a different conclusion? So the Gemara says maybe it's a double factor. One, not only is the next king already been approved, it also happens to be the son of the previous king. Okay, so when the former king died in Adar, so now we all know who the next king is going to be, and it's his son. So even though the coronation did not occur until Nisan, so maybe you can make the argument that it was such an obvious choice, maybe already the Adar could represent for him the beginning of his reign. That's the Havamina. The Chiddush is no. So Ma'ad Detein and Nimle Tartin Shnin Kamash Malan. Okay, fine. So that was the Havamina, and the Maskan is no. Everything is going to be predicated on coronation. Okay. Otherwise stated very simply, we have a system. Once the system's in place, you just simply follow the system, and hopefully that will eliminate any confusion of when the loan occurred. Okay, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, so Adkan, that pretty much takes us to the first part of today's daf. So just as a mid-daf review, so the question becomes, when the Mishnah says that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, right, two things occur in Nisan. The Mishnah says, Malachim and Regalim. Right now, we're just tackling Malachim in terms of the beginning of Nisan. So what is that significance? So in a word, dating your dating documents. Okay, the significance of dating a document and to ensure that no document is ever going to be predated. A predated document is disqualified. Well, how do we know it's going to be a predated document? Because we all now have a system to know exactly when today is. And so that we can all communicate with one another to know exactly when I'm looking at a document and I see that it's dated to the fourth year of this king. So now, based on the fact that we're all going to agree when the king's year begins, when his reign begins, how we know what year this king is. So we're all going to have clarity in terms of when the document is, so that no document is going to be a predated document. Good. That's the first part of today's daf. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're on Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down. And Minayin L'Malachim She'ein Monim Lahem Ela MiNisan. How do I know that kings can only be counted from the month of Nisan? Shenemar. So we are now going to take a step backwards and discuss and reflect and how it is that we assume that a king is counted from Nisan. Meaning that obviously was the starting point of the whole discussion. Again, remember that Rashi and Tosfos over here seem to disagree in terms of whether this is Jewish kings, non-Jewish kings. Anyway, but it will become evident from our Gemara over here that the month of Nisan being significant for Jewish kings. Okay, and so we'll just not ignore, but we'll leave at that point of Rashi and Tosfos from the first part of today's daf. So how do I know? Shenemar. So the Gemara says it becomes clear as you go through the beginning of Sefer Malachim. So of course the beginning of Sefer Malachim represents the beginning of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech and the building of the first base of Mikdash, and the pasuk goes on to describe. So we are now in the 480th year post-Exodus. So it's at that point in time that we built the first base of Mikdash. Okay, as we already pointed out numerous times, it really is a long time between exiting Egypt and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Nearly 5 centuries of Jewish history occurs. Okay, what happened for almost 500 years? So it was a crash course in Jewish history. So for most of those years, so that was Sefer Shoftim, meaning Sefer Shoftim. The system of rule in Eretz Yisrael after first 40 years in the Midbar and then 14 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael. But after that, so we had a system of rule where the judges ruled. So, and not the kings. And in terms of a Beis HaMikdash, there was no Beis HaMikdash. There was Shiloh. The Mishkan was set up in the city of Shiloh, and it lasted there for a really long time. Okay, hopefully if I'm correct, 369 years that the Mishkan was in Shiloh. And then after Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim, so then and only then do we start considering even appointing a king. Right, we appointed two kings, Shaul, then David, and then and now we're at Shlomo HaMelech. So, but nevertheless, it was nearly 5 centuries since we left Mitzrayim, and to be accurate, 480 years says the beginning of Sefer Malachim. So all that now is important, but what's critical for us is the next part of the pasuk, B'shana HaRevi'is B'chodesh Ziv. In the fourth year, now what does that mean, in the fourth year? So Rashi points out over here, now we're talking about of Shlomo HaMelech, meaning it's not super clear in the pasuk, but you have to just simply, you have to shuffle the words around a little bit. Anyway, in the fourth year of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, B'chodesh Ziv u'chodesh HaSheni. So in the Chodesh of Ziv, which is the second month. Okay. Now the second month, you and I call Iyar, but as I already explained earlier this morning, the names of the months that we use only occurred historically later, between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. We were in Gullus for 70 years. So it's in those 70 years that we took on, that we gave the months Persian names. Okay, but that is, that's a later point in time. Okay, they clearly also gave the month's name. So they called Iyar, they called it Ziv. Anyway, so it's Iyar. So Chodesh Hasheni LaMelech Shlomo Al Yisrael. So what do we have over here? So in this pasuk we have not only the dating of how many years it was since we left Mitzrayim, but also it dates the Shlomo HaMelech and his reign. It says that in the fourth year, in the second month, which is Iyar. Now, what do we have over here? We have a Hekesh. Mekesh Malchus Shlomo LeYitzias Mitzrayim. So we now have a Hekesh. And so whatever is the dating system in terms of counting the year from Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we're going to assume it's also going to be true by in terms of the dating system regarding the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Another. Now, right. Now, mind you, right. Another Rashi that I didn't focus on in the beginning, but let's go back. Mind you, this whole dating system is a din derabbanan, right? You look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, right? V'kavu chachamim echad benisa. Right, and some of the Rosh Hashanahs in our Mishnah are deraisa, some of them are derabbanan. So the dating system is a derabbanan. So mind you that what frames our entire discussion over here is that the Chachamim elected and the Chachamim chose this as a dating system. So the fact that it's a hekesh, not based on Chumash, but rather on a Navi, okay, and it didn't derabbanan, it would work. Okay, so. Mekesh, sorry, I just lost my spot. It's going to come back to me. I feel good about that. So Mekesh Ma, here we go. Mekesh Ma Chushlom Al Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ma Yitzias Mitzrayim in Nisan. So when counting Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're counting from Nisan. So Af Ma Chushlom Al Nisan. So Ma Chushlom is also going to be from Nisan. Now Yitzias Mitzrayim go from Inalan. Demi Nisan, Maninan, Dilma Mitishra Maninan. So, but of course, in other words, that was an assumption. And that is that the 480 years that are counted from Nisan. Wow, how do I know that? Now, it happens to be a pretty fair assumption, meaning when do we leave Mitzrayim? In the month of Nisan. So one would imagine that, okay, so it seems pretty fair that we're going to be counting from Nisan. That's when we left Mitzrayim. But still, as common sense as that is, but it's still an assumption. So what the Gemara wants to know is, how do I know? How do I know that the assumption is correct? So lo sagadacha d'ksiv. The Gemara says there's no alternative. Of course they counted from Nisan. But not only is it common sense, but we have psukim to back it up as well. D'ksiv ayal Aaron Kohen elohor ahar al pi Hashem v'yam Hashem v'shnas arbeim letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim bechodesh hachamishi bechel lechodesh. Okay, so we need we're going to establish two pieces of information. One, the death of Aaron. So in Parshas Chukas, so the Torah describes Aaron dying, and it actually gives us a date of his death. Right. Any other time that we're given a yard site in the Torah itself, I don't think so. Okay. If I'm wrong, for sure, correct me. I don't think we're given another date. Meaning we have a Mesorah that Moshe died on Zayin Adar, but that's a Mesorah in the Torah itself. Okay. So anyway, but we're given. So, Bechorosh HaChamishi Bechel HaChorosh. So Aaron died on, and the first day of the month of Av. Now, now you go to the beginning of Devarim. So it was in the 40th year in the 11th month. So, Moshe. So that's the beginning of Devarim. So, so now, look, we are in the month of Av. It's called year 40. And now we're in the month of Shvat. Right, and we're calling it 40. Michlal, the Rosh Hashanah left Tishrehu. So now, obviously, to go from Av to Shvat. So so that means that we passed over Tishrei, and so that if Tishrei was it was a marker in which we're going to be counting Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then we should have gone from 40 to 41. Okay, so by virtue of the fact that we did not make the jump, the Torah does not make the jump from 40 to 41. So that means that as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim is concerned, the counting of Yetzias Mitzrayim is from Nisan. Okay. Bishlama haich mefarish del Yetzias Mitzrayim. Elahai mimai del Yetzias Mitzrayim del malach hamas hamishkan. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Gemara says, I'm with you, that as far as what you just described, that was certainly from Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's beferish. So, but the Gemara says, but I don't know. Maybe over here, when counting 480, maybe it's going from a Kamas HaMishkan. So the Gemara says, no, Kedamara Papa, Shnas Esrim Shana, Esrim Ligzer Shava, Hachanam Shnas Arbaim Shana, Arbaim Ligzer Shava. So the Gemara says that we have a basically a gzeira shava. Okay, so David, not only do we have a hekesh now, but we have a gzeira shava in terms of counting. So the Gemara says that just like one pasuk is describing the counting from Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too over here it's also going to be from Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Okay, so the Gemara now is perfectly convinced that both the counting of the years for the building of the Beis Hamikdash as much as the 40th year in the Midbar are all going to be counted from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And so and now in that pasuk in the counting of the building of the first Beis Hamikdash, so we now also know that that connected with that is also the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, which also is going to be predicated as the beginning going to be the beginning of that count going to be Nisan. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap. Let's quickly summarize our morning. Okay, we started here our new Masech. We started Rosh Hashanah and Arba Rosh Hashanah. There are four times in the year where it's going to be marking the first of. So it's not one Rosh Hashanah, it's actually four Rosh Hashanahs. And the Mishnah took us through the four significant times in the year in which we're marking the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year vis-a-vis different halachas. So it's going to be the first day of Nisan, the first day of Elul, although that's subject to a machlokas, the first day of Tishrei, and the first day of Shvat, which is also subject to a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, what the significance of each of these beginnings are, so that's what our Mishnah taught us, and that's what we're in the middle of discussing. So without, in the summary, I'm not going to go through each one, because that basically would require us to go through the Mishnah again. But right now, we're focusing on the first day of Nisan being significant for two things, for Malachim and for Regalim. Now, as far as its significance regarding Malachim, so why is that significant? Meaning that when we have a king, and now he has gone through the first day of Nisan, so now he's in the next year of his reign. And as we learned in the course of Brises today, even if his reign started just but one day earlier, on the 29th day of Adar, but on the first day of Nisan, he's now in the second year of his reign. Why is all this important? So for dating of documents, we want to know that we're dating the documents and we want clear communication between lender and borrower that the loan occurred on this date. So what's the system of usage? The system of usage is that we're going to be dating it based on the king. Okay? Jewish king, non-Jewish king. So that part became unclear over the course of between Rashi and Tosos in the beginning of our daf today. But regardless, right? I could just keep it simple. We're dating it based on a king, presumably a Jewish king. We're talking about Nisan anyway. But the point is that we want clear communication between borrower and lender. Why is clear communication so important? It's because of loans and a predated document is disqualified based on the fact that it will gain the lender an unlawful advantage to go ahead and collect properties unlawfully, illegally. And so therefore, the Chachamim said that if you have a predated document, it's going to be a disqualified document. And so we need to have clear communication in terms of when the loan occurred. Okay. There is, by the way, just there's a difficult Rashi on the Amud Aleph that I didn't go through in terms of how can you actually write a predated document if we didn't go by the king. So see Rashi for a somewhat complicated scenario in terms of how it's possible. I didn't go through the Rashi inside. Anyway, so that is the basic outline of the Mishnah. As far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara gave us a number of different ways to all basically say that the king's reign is all going to be counted from the first day of Nisan. And we had a couple of brises that say in a number of different ways, but basically we have a system in place. First day of Nisan is going to be the next year of that king. And it doesn't matter whether or not there was a changing of the kings, whether it occurred in Adar, whether it occurred in Nisan, whether one king died in Adar and the other one took over Nisan. Anyway, it's all going to be operating with the same system. And finally, the last thing that we discussed over the course of today is Minayan. How do I know? How do I know that kings are, in fact, going to be counted from the month of Nisan? So we have Psukim at the beginning of Malachim, connecting the count of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the building of the Beis Hamikdash to the monarchy of Shlomo HaMelech. And just like we count Yetzias Mitzrayim from the month of Nisan, so too, when we're counting the kings, we're counting from the month of Nisan. A hekesh. How do I know that the counting of Yetzias Mitzrayim actually occurs in Nisan? So that was the last portion of today's daf. Adkan.